in again. This would be the third week, but I got some other things I want to share with you concerning choices. Choices are being more specific, choosing to be strong. Choosing to be strong. Amen. Anybody in here want to be a weakling? Is anybody just, I mean, you just want to be a weakling? I mean, you know, I don't think so. And even if anyone raised your hand, I wouldn't believe you. So, amen. We all want to be strong. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, tells us to be strong. How? How? See, now that's important. That is very important. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. I can be everything that God's called me to do, to be. I can do everything that God's called me to do if I'll do it through Christ Jesus and through the power of His might. Amen. Too many times we focus on ourselves, on our own abilities, and you ever thought about it that on the day that you die, all your earthly abilities are gone? Yeah. Amen. They'll all be gone. And a lot of it will be forgotten. So I want to be strong in the things of the Lord. Amen. And I want to make good choices. And I want to do things God's way. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And I've ministered to you week before last and last week concerning being strong in grace. And sometimes I feel like I could preach on that for a year. But knowing that everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, is because of the grace of God. It's because of God's favor. You understand what I'm saying? It's because of God's favor, because of His loving kindness. It's because of the goodness of God. Amen? The goodness of God. Praise God, because you have to understand, we don't deserve anything on our own. It's all through Him. Amen. We couldn't get anything on our own. It is all through Him. Are you still here? Amen, amen, amen. So I told you that you have to make a choice to be strong. That's you have to choose to be strong. You have to choose to finish strong. And what happens too many times, people will not make a choice. They will not make up their minds that I'm going forward. And I'm not turning back. Amen. Glory to God. And I wrote a little thing here in my notes which says, if you are weak in any area, it's because of two reasons. You made a choice to remain weak, or you just plain decided to do nothing about it, just let things go as they are. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you do nothing, you're going to roll downhill. To go uphill, it's going to take some effort. We have to make decisions in life. Well, Pastor, I did that and I made some bad decisions. Well, here's the good thing about bad decisions. They can be changed. Amen. Amen. They bad decisions can be corrected. Yes, they can. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. You hear me talk about it all the time, and I want you to get that verse. Get verse 1 John 1:9 in your spirit. Because that way the devil can't beat you up. Can't beat you up over your past failures. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. I like that word cleanse. I said I like that word cleanse. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, there's a number of things I want to give you, and I don't. I want to try to move right along if I can. But how does strength come anyway? How do I become a strong person? First of all, it's going to come through your relationship and your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. It's going to come as a result of your fellowship and the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Aren't those some beautiful little kids? Give them a hand. Amen. We thank God for them. Glory to God. Amen. When we have, listen to me, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Doesn't matter how weak you think you are. When you have a strong relationship with the Lord, when you're in fellowship with him, then the supernatural comes into play. And we're no longer dependent upon the natural. We're dependent upon the supernatural, the power of God being at work. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. So, strength comes as a result of our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, it comes through the Word of God and our approach to the Word of God. What do you mean, Pastor, approach to the Word of God? Well, you know, some folks just hear the Word of God all the time. They hear and they hear and they hear and they hear and they hear, but that's as far as it goes. They just hear. And in many times it go in this ear and out that ear. Or this ear and out that ear. You know, in other words, it's gone. But we must receive the Word of God and we must be in agreement with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? We must act on what we know. Write this down. This is in my notes. I'm going to give it to you. We choose to agree with the Word of God concerning prosperity. Let's talk about prosperity just for a moment. How many of you right now believe, do you just give me a show of hands, how many of you believe that God wants you to prosper? Let me see your hand. Let me see. See, God wants you to prosper. Yeah. All right. You believe that. Amen. Do you know there are a lot of folks that believe that God wants them to prosper, but they're not prospering? They see it in the Bible, but they're not prospering. Sometimes they scratch their head and think, dear Lord, what am I doing wrong? You know, I see it in the word, but I'm not prospering, Lord. Well, let me tell you something. You can agree with the word of God that God wants you to prosper, but you must choose to prosper. You must choose to prosper. Same principle applies when it comes to our healing. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are laborers together with God. Too many times we want God to do it all. Lord, prosper me. Lord, prosper me. Lord, prosper me. And you're flipping through your newspaper one day, or maybe listening to your radio or whatever, and you see this ad, help wanted. And you keep on flipping. And you flip to another ad, help wanted. And you keep on flipping. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to prosper, because you're going to have to work together with God. Amen. Part of it's called having a job. Can I give you a deep revelation? How many of you love deep revelations? Come on. Now, y'all raising your hand kind of like, y'all know me, don't you? But this is the revelation. It's not a sin to work.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the word of God says if a man don't work, he don't what? You know, we need to read the Bible sometimes, find out what it says. What else does it say? A man that don't provide for his family is what? Worse?
Infidel.
Worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. When we work with God, he will work with us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not physically able to work. Well, God understands that. Amen. He'll still provide for you, and he'll heal you too.
Amen.
Amen. And you may be like some of us in here. I can just look over the congregation, see a few of you that's retired, and you work, and now you're retired, and that's okay too. You got your time in, and God has blessed you. And it's still blessing you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Kathy and I go in restaurants sometimes or in other stores, and this is what we hear most often. We need help. We need workers. We was in a restaurant yesterday. I think the lady said half of them didn't show up. Only two showed up. Waitresses. That's not good. Amen. All right, let me move on. I paused right there for a little bit. I hope you wasn't bored with that, because that's the truth, what I just told you. And sometimes we need a Selah moment to think about the truth. Amen. All right. Of course, we know that strength comes through our faith. Faith in God. The just shall live by faith. I mean, that's just a lifestyle for us. We are to live by faith. Now, I want to deal for a few minutes here on something that's very, very important. You don't hear much about it anymore. Used to, preachers, ministers would minister and teach on it more than they do now. But you don't hear it as much now. But it's still the Word of God. It's still in the Bible. If you are going to be a strong person, if you're going to be a strong believer, if you're going to get things done, you must watch your words. Everybody say words. Say it again. Amen. Now, I don't care how long you've been saved. Your mouth can keep you in trouble. When we learn to control our words, we've gone a long way. Hallelujah. Now, we hear all the time, Pastor, you know, things are so bad. This is going wrong. That's going wrong. We don't know what we're going to do. Oh, my goodness, blah, 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 blah. You know, I want you to take a look at a fella that we all know, heard about. His name is David. So turn to 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Now, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. You there? First verse, it says, and by the way, David and his men went out to fight a battle, okay? They went out to fight. But when they returned, well, he did an unwise thing. He went out to fight, and he left their families unprotected. All the fighting men went with him. The families was left unprotected. So they were, the wives, the children, everything were taken into slavery. And so when David got back, you know, his wives were gone, his family was gone, same for the men that were with him. So verse 1 says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. And they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Hallelujah. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. You can imagine. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, I think I'm pronouncing it right, forgive me if I'm not, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, that's pretty easy to pronounce, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now listen to this. Now David was greatly distressed. Everybody say greatly distressed.
Greatly distressed.
Say it again.
Greatly distressed.
Now, let me ask you a question. Don't respond, but I just want you to think about it. What would you have done if you had been in David's place? Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, the very men that he was leading, that followed him. Now they were turning against him because their families were gone, city burned. Now, David, it's your fault. That's a pretty tough place to be. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But. Now, folks, listen to me. Sometimes it's hard. It can get very, very hard. Now think of this for a moment. Here's David. Had he stayed home where he should have, they would have had their wives, their children, and their city would not have been burned. But it was his decision to go fight. Now he got all this on him. Most people, you know, first thought that the devil would put in their heads, commit suicide. It's happening more and more and more and more. Let me stop right here for a moment. We're going to proceed on. Let me stop right here. If any of you or anybody watching are thinking about suicide, stop it right now. I'm telling you right now, that's not God's will, and that's not the way out. Matter of fact, anyone that commits suicide that don't know Jesus, it's going to get much worse. And it's permanent. Whatever you do, don't listen to that spirit. There's always a way out with God. Did y'all hear me? People think about committing suicide when that spirit of hopelessness come upon them and the pressure is on. And they're thinking, oh, I don't have a way out. What am I going to do? Well, I'll just end it all. Well, that's the coward's way out, by the way. That's the coward's way out. To end it all. Now, we see it in this example. They have it on the screen. I want to read it to you again. Think about this. Let this minister to you. Now, David was greatly distressed. Everybody say greatly distressed. He wasn't just distressed. He was greatly distressed. He had a burden on him. Because the very people that he loved is now turning on him, and they're ready to stone him to death. They're ready to kill him. Because their families are gone. So he was greatly distressed. He didn't take it lightly. Because his own people he loved were captured as well. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and daughters. But this is what David did. Oh, if people would do that today. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Listen, I'm here to tell you, please listen to me. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how dark it gets. Let me rephrase that, because I am a caring person. Let me rephrase that. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, how bad it seems. God is right there waiting for you to cry out to him. He is a present help in the time of trouble. I hope you hear me, folks. Some spirit trying to pressure you to take your life, you just yell out. You may not even be saved, but you can still do it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then give your life to the Lord. But see what David did. He had some big time problems. He didn't have any way out. And we won't read all of it. I mean, but if you read the rest of that chapter, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God, and then he went before the Lord his God to seek direction. Lord, what should I do? Say this with me. If the Lord spoke to David, he'll speak to me. If I do what David did. And I'm not talking about going off into some crazy war. I'm talking about strengthening yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you an example of this. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. So notice we're talking about words. Now, the Word of God tells us that David strengthened himself, or he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, some of us would have been crying out, oh, I'm about to die, I'm about to die, I'm about to die. You know, just, or some folks would have had a cussing fit. Because the pressure is on. That's the reason we need to stay in the Word. Because we don't want pressure to push something out of us that we're going to have to later repent for. It happened to Peter. When the pressure was on, He cursed. But he did repent, didn't he? He repented. Your mouth is a powerful thing. Your words are powerful. Now, you have Psalm 103. This is a psalm of David. Verse 1. This is what, these are words, okay? Words. Everybody say words.
Words.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sometimes, folks, that doesn't mean you're crazy. Sometimes you just have to talk to yourself. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and talk. You need to have a conversation with yourself. You need to tell yourself, you stop acting like that. We're going to trust the Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My God is going to supply this need. I don't have to know how he's going to do it. I'm just going to stay in fellowship with him. I'm going to stay in his word, and that door will open for me, or he will tell me what to do. Just like he did for David. I tell you, you hear me say this a lot. And we hear people say, oh, they ran away from God, or they walked away from God. Why you want to walk away from the one that's helping you and has the ability to help you? Why you want to do that? I'm looking at y'all, but I'm not talking to y'all. Because I know you guys hadn't walked away from the Lord. Thank God for you. Thank God for your commitment, your love for God. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said that every person need to come to him as a little child, or like a little child. Well, what did you do when you were a little child and you kicked your toe against a rock? Now your big toe bleeding, or you fell and skint your elbow. What did you do? You went running to mama or daddy, crying, I hurt my elbow. But you did the right thing. You would go to mama, she'd wash it off. And my mama, maybe she did it for you too. Sometimes she would blow on it. I don't know what good that was, but at least I know I had her attention. We didn't have Band-Aids back in those days, so she put a handkerchief or something, whatever she could find. Now you got Band-Aids, gauze, and all that stuff. We didn't grow up that stuff, man. You just had to use what you could find. Wrap a towel around your arm or something. Yeah. But when a child is in trouble, they run to the parent. When they hurt themselves, they run to the parent. Why do many of us that's in God's family, when times get tough, we run away from him, we walk away from him, rather than running to him, getting closer to him, encouraging and strengthening ourselves in him, grabbing a hold of his word and letting his word flow through our mouth? Because I know my God cares about me. He cares about me. He cares about me. He cares about what I'm dealing with. He cares about this situation that I am facing. See, that's the reason we're told to cast our cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us. Hallelujah. Look at that person beside you and tell them, say, God cares about you. Yes, he does. Amen. So David said in 103, Psalm 103, verse 1, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He didn't say cry. He said, bless the Lord. And if there are tears, they should be tears of joy. Hallelujah. Y'all still here? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Did you grab that? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let me say it this way, and don't forget not one of his, of all of his benefits. Hallelujah. Now, well, what if you messed up? Did something wrong? Well, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Back to 1 John 1, 9. Who forgives all your iniquities. And not only do he forgive all of our iniquities, why, you know what? There's so much discussion and so forth on healing, whether God heals or not. I want everybody, I'm going to count to three. And matter of fact, let's just read the whole verse. It's on the screen. Just read it off the screen. You may have, that's the New King James Version. You may have a different version. But this is what the Bible says. Read it out loud on three. One, two, three. Stop right there, Mama. Stop. Now, are you sure you're reading that right? Did he say he heals all your diseases? Or if it's his will, he pick and choose what he want to heal? Because he's going to leave you with some of it because he's teaching you something. That sounded so good. Let's read that one more time on three. One, two, three.
Who forgives all
your
iniquities? Who heals all
your
diseases?
Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I see that, but I'm still sick. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. Well, you do what David did. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Yeah. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Yeah. Get into the Word of God. Yeah. But wait a minute, Pastor. See, you don't understand. See, I know such and such, and she was a godly lady. She loved God, and I mean, she loved the Word of God. But Pastor, she died. She didn't get healed. But we got to understand, we in our little human natural body, we don't understand everything about everything. And God didn't always tell us other people's business. But I just don't understand why she died. Why she died? I tell you, I'm not going to trust God anymore. I'm just going to leave God because I just don't believe the Bible anymore because I know she loved God or he loved God. You don't know everything. That's right. There's a story behind the story. But you know what? I believe, matter of fact, I know it's true in many cases. Some people just, I'm talking about saints of God now. Some saints of God just decide. And they don't tell you. They don't have to tell you. They don't have to tell us everything. Sometimes they just decide, I want to go and be with Jesus. Because they're not gonna tell you because they know you're gonna put up a fuss. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You ain't. But sometimes people, and you don't have to be old, sometimes young people just decide, Lord, I just want to come on and be with you. And they go. But family and friends are left like, what happened? Why didn't God come through for them? Let me tell you something. God would never, ever turn his back on anybody. There's a song, I don't even know the words, but y'all probably heard the song. And I don't know all the words, I just remember hearing it when I was a little child, but saying that we'll understand it better by and by. There are some things we will understand on the other side that we don't understand on this side. But in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to stay with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I've got to quit. So let me finish this. So he says, who forgives our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Listen to this. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with what? Loving kindness and what? Tender mercies. Put verse 5 on the screen. We're going to close with this one, so musicians, you guys can get ready. On 3, I want you to read this nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. Who satisfies your mouth? That our mouths can be a blessing or our mouths can be a cursing. Let's make up our mind. I'm going to speak good things that line up with the Word of God. And if I miss it, I repent and keep moving on. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Satisfy your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. How many of you like to have your youth renewed? Walking around looking young. Hallelujah. Like Brother Douglas sitting there. I had no idea he was his. I'm not going to tell you your age, but I'm not even sure if I remember all of it. But I thought, I don't think the brother lying to me. God's blessed you, brother, and your lovely wife as well. Amen. Don't they look young? Hallelujah. I can imagine what she's thinking. What you talking about? I am young. Glory to God. But that's our God. And the key to it is this. When the trials come, when the pressure is on, don't allow that pressure to cause you to say things that's going to make matters worse. Because I know we can say things, words can come out of our mouth that hurt other people. Right? But you have to understand something. The words that we speak, we hear first. Amen. And sometimes you can get frustrated, and this one over there in the green, what is that you got on, sweater? Whatever that is. I tell you, she'll jump on me in a half a heartbeat. She don't need a heartbeat. And you get frustrated and all of a sudden something come out that shouldn't come out, and she jumped right on that. And I repent. I repent of saying that. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, smile, D. but amen. And that's good. Because you can talk yourself into depression. You can talk yourself into hating somebody you should be loving. Everybody say work.